Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. If you are visiting with us, we are so happy to have you as a part of our fellowship this morning. This is the family of God, and all are welcome here. God has called each one of us, named and claimed us for His own. And we are here to worship and celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have some important announcements that I want you to pay attention to before we begin our worship service. One has to do with the anniversary coming up at the end of the month. If you haven't picked up your invitation, there are invitations in the back that the ushers can give you. The January 29th, 30th, and 31st. On the 31st, one service at 10:30. One service at 10:30. That's just a couple weeks away. So make sure that's on your calendar. And we need you to RSVP if you're going to stay for the luncheon. We want to know how many people are going to come to the luncheon. And we have some other important announcements that Rhonda will share with us in just a moment. But let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
How are you doing?
Whoops.
Whoops.
I'm doing okay. I have a bag for you. Oh, no, it's right there. It's a bunch of bottles and stuff. Off. She's okay. Dad's under the weather. Does Annabelle need a robe on? Well, good morning, Calvary. If some of you don't know me, my name is Rhonda Barlow, and I will be your liturgist and servant to youth today. So again, welcome, welcome. There are some announcements that we need to go over this morning. One of the announcements, there is on the back of your bulletin, there is mention about a worship committee meeting. That particular meeting will be rescheduled. It will not be this week. Okay, this Friday, the 15th, we are having our annual Calvary Chili Cook-Off. Starts at 6:30. There's not really a ticket or anything like that that's going to be sold. It's all going to be based on donations. They are looking for 10 people to sign up to bring their chili. Diane, how many do we have?
Actually, we have 9, so we only need one more person to volunteer to do chili. We need one more volunteer to do judging.
Oh, good.
And we have plenty of desserts.
How many judges are there then?
There's 4 now. Uh-huh. We have 4. We only need one more.
Oh, we need 5 judges?
Well, that's what they said.
Okay, so to...
But if we have 9 and 4, that's good too.
Amen.
So, like she was saying, we have 9 people that are doing chili right now. They would like to have that 10th person to do chili. You have how many judges so far?
4.
They have 4. They would like to have a 5th judge, and they already have a lot of desserts. So, please come out and enjoy that. It's a great time.
Bring the chili back. Yeah, bring the chili.
Okay, bring your chili by 6. Yes, Sue. Okay. So Sue says that the Friendship Club is meeting on Thursday, not Tuesday, according to your bulletin. Okay, we are in desperate need of some items for the food bank. Peanut butter, jelly, pasta, canned goods, cereal, rice. If you could bring those up here to the church, and I would imagine just place them on the table in the kitchen or in the box. Okay. All right. We also have a worship work day this coming Saturday to take down all of the Christmas decorations, the tree and such. That starts at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. And to reiterate what Pastor Esther was saying about the 50th anniversary, that takes place the 29th, 30th, and 31st. Please pick up your invitations in the back, and please, during a work day, Monday through Friday, with Sue, just give her a holler and let her know that you're planning to attend. RSVP, please, for the luncheon. Okay, also in the back next to the ushers there on the table, there are the year-end statements for your banking statements. I noticed that Bill was trying to hand a lot of those out to people that he recognized coming through. But if you didn't get yours, they are in alphabetical order in the back. There is a district leadership training that is happening on Saturday, the 23rd, at Beach United Methodist Church from 8:30 to 1. Carpooling from the church here would be at 8. Classes include finance, trustees, United Methodist Men, SPRC, which is staff parish, and missions. Also, there's an announcement here for auditions for the public reading of the play Boundary Crossing by Joe O'Hearn. Will be at 7 p.m. on January 14th through the 19th. You are invited to come and find out all about that. Oh, 14th and the 19th. I'm sorry. Okay, and are there any other announcements? Yes, sir. Woohoo! Yay for that. My father celebrates his birthday tomorrow. Unfortunately, he's not here today. He's kind of under the weather with his sinuses. Mom, I went to the house this morning. She seems to be pretty good. So, hallelujah for that. Okay, if there aren't any other announcements, let's go to our opening words. God spoke through the prophet, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you." God calls us by name. We belong to God. When you pass through the waters, God will be with us. When you pass through the rivers, God will be with us. When you walk through the fire, God will be with us. God is our Savior. We are precious in God's sight. Come, let us worship our Savior, who leads us into life. Amen.
We were supposed to give out a little a deciphering thing that would have told you that We Three Kings, if you went to 229, it would have led you to 254 for We Three Kings. But that was my fault. I didn't include that in there. So it is indeed 254 in your hymnal. Please stand. And we'll sing We Three Kings.
Star of God.
verse 3. At your insert, we'll have our affirmation of faith. We believe in God, the creator of all things, the giver of life and breath. We believe in Jesus Christ, born Emmanuel, God with us, baptized and revealed the most beloved Son of God. He sought to heal humanity by taking our brokenness upon himself, suffering for us, dying for us, and being raised from the dead for our sake and for the sake of all the world. We believe that he will come again. We believe in the Holy Spirit, continually poured out, refreshing our lives, leading us into a new day, ever birthing the church, the body of Christ in the world. This Spirit is our sole companion and counselor of truth, reminding us of the gift of faith, the ever-presence of God, and the promise of eternal life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
A glass of water with me today. You see this water in this glass, and I sometimes need water during the worship service, so it's nice to have a glass of water up there, and I'm going to talk about that more in a minute, but I want to ask you some questions first, and that is, when you're coming to church and nobody knows your name, what is it that we use that lets people know who you are? Our heart, okay? You tell them your name, but is there something that you put on you that, what is that that you put on you? What do you call that?
A name tag.
A choir robe, a name tag. Well, yes, that's an acceptable answer. That's an acceptable answer. But yes, a name tag. And what do you put on, like, your book bag at school so that somebody doesn't accidentally pick up a book or something of yours or if it gets lost or misplaced? How do they know it's yours? You have your name on it. You put your name on it. And what I want to tell you is that when we are baptized, God puts his name on us. right? God puts God's name on. Oh, you had to have your little bag. I'm so glad you have that. Good. Her name tag's in there. Do you have a name tag in there? Oh, looky there. Let me see. Madison. That's right. We will never forget who Madison is. But I call you Maddie. Is that okay? It's fine. Okay. God names own when we are baptized, and probably you were too young to, and that's okay. You actual event, because guess what? And water is used in our baptism. It's just plain old water like you wash your hands in or you drink. And what else do you do with water? What else do you do? What? We do baptize people with water, but I'm talking about the everyday uses of water. You water plants, Maddie? You feel water in your pool and you go splashing around in your pool? Okay, good. Maddie, what else? You wash your hands in the sink using water? Okay. You can clean stuff with water? Water has 1,001 uses and we use it every single day, don't we? We have to have water to exist. It's very important. And food, yes, we need food as well. And that's why I talk about water like I do, because this is what sustains us and keeps us going. And God also keeps us going through this water. When you're dehydrated, you drink water. We need water for a lot of different things. And water is used in our baptism to remind us that God has called us to be a part of His family, and we belong to God. And I think it's important to remember that every time we use water, and we use it 1,000 times a day. So every time we use water, can you think of God? Can you think of God every time we use water and be glad that God has called you to be His own? And that's what it means to be baptized. God has called you to be His own and has claimed you and named you for Himself. And so that's why we say in the church, remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. And that's what we're doing today. We're talking about Jesus being baptized and remembering our baptism. You have a Lego Bible about Jesus. All right, that's another good way to think about Jesus and to learn about Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. We thank you, loving God, for the gift of water, which sustains us and nourishes us and gives us new life through you and the power of the Holy Spirit. All this we ask in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, before I give you your treat, let me remind you that today is Children's Church, and I think Miss Betty is going to take you, but now you get to choose your candy. Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Now I invite the ushers to come forward as we continue to worship God with the presentation of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Gracious God, you who moved over the waters and turned the waters into life and into breath. We ask, O God, that you will continue to sustain us through your gracious love, through the power of your Holy Spirit, on us gathered here and on this church. We pray your blessing and ask, O God, that you would use us for your kingdom work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. seated.
Waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation, and still you know my heart. You're the author of salvation. You've loved me from the start. Waiting here for you. Hands lifted high in praise. And it's you.
You are everything you promised. Your faithfulness is true. And I'm desperate for your presence. All I need is you. Waiting here for you. With my hand lifted high in praise, and it's you we adore, singing alleluia. I trust in you, Lord.
We will sing alleluia, singing alleluia,
singing alleluia.
Oh Lord.
Singing alleluia.
Thank you. I want us to turn our thoughts and attention to a time of prayer this morning, with the notes of that song sort of reverberating in our very souls this morning. I want to lift up some things in prayer. One is Kitty Fuller's daughter, who was diagnosed with melanoma this last week, and we need prayers for her and for her daughter, Terry. And are there others that I should lift up in concern today before we go to God in prayer? Do you have other prayer requests to share? Are there others? Katie? Okay. Your illness in your family keeps circling around. There is some illness going around. There's a number of people who have had the same problem with illness. And so we pray for that healing. Are there others? We've had a lot of good praises. Excellent. Yes. And he's doing well. We are so, amen to that. Amen to that. That's wonderful news. That's wonderful news.
Pastor Esther?
Yes.
A friend of ours in the hospital at St. Luke's, and he just had surgery. And he's going to be there for a little bit.
And what's your friend's name?
Jacob Richardson.
Jacob Richardson for surgery after his, recuperating after surgery. Okay. Thank you, Amy. Barbara? Traveling. Okay. Travel mercies for your friends, family who are coming this week for services. Okay. I want to lift up what I'll be doing for the next couple of days. I told some of you before church started that I've been required to participate in a jury pool for a church trial. And yes, everybody's a church trial. Those things happen when there is misconduct, usually in the clergy. Sometimes it's also for laity, but they do it for clergy. And what hangs in the balance with these cases is their ordination, whether or not they can continue to stay on as pastors. Now, whether there's a criminal proceeding, criminal proceedings are a separate thing. This is a church trial, and a pastor has been brought up on some kind of charges of misconduct. And there is a trial just like there would be in criminal court or civil court in our legal system. But the church's legal system requires that certain people go for a jury. And if I get selected, I will remain there for the rest of the trial. And so I head this afternoon to Lakeland and we'll go through that process tomorrow. And I could be back tomorrow night or I might have to stay for a few days for the trial. I won't know. But not for myself, but for to surround this process in prayer because it's someone's life that's hanging in the balance here, and we need to know what the truth is of the situation and pray, of course, that justice, whatever that is, will be done. And so I ask for your prayers for that process as well today. Go to God in prayer with some time of silence and just focusing, if you would, on your breathing. Close your eyes and let the cares that you're thinking of just kind of wash over you and away. And soak in the love of God. For you, who has named you and claimed you, oh God, your voice called out over the deep and darkness and brought forth light. Your voice called out over the waters and brought forth life. Your voice called out over this earth and brought forth our very being. And your voice continues to call out in our world to bring new hope and new life. Help us to hear your voice above the hum of the highway and the buzz of business. Help us to hear your voice in the cries of children, in the soft voices of the sick, in the pleas of the poor. May we hear and respond to your voice in our lives and in our world. It is in your gracious name we pray, using the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'll tell you, there's a couple of things I'm thankful for right now. I'm thankful that God knows my name and has put his mark on me. God knows I don't deserve it. I'm also thankful that I'm not the one the church is taking to trial.
We all have our
own. And for those of you who know me, you understand why I'm thankful for that. If you'd please stand and look to the screen behind me, we're going to sing Star Child.
Which we learned over the holidays.
That's right.
Well, I think that we can actually just thank the Lord that they sent Pastor Esther to us. Because I personally do that every day. I do. I've just seen her work and how she reaches out to people, and that is comforting to me, and I know to my parents. So, our scriptures this morning are out of Isaiah 43:1-4. And then we'll go to Luke. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. And then we go to Luke 3:15-17. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And then continue to 21. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When I was an associate pastor in New Smyrna Beach, one of my particular assignments was worship planning. And I didn't have to preach every week back then. I only preached occasionally. I could devote a lot more time to worship planning. And I knew that nobody would come to a service if I called it an epiphany service. And so I usually found a way to combine the baptism of our Lord Sunday with a full-blown celebration of Epiphany. So there was something that made sense to me about the baptism of Jesus and Epiphany on the same Sunday. Of course, a lot of things about this make sense. If you think about it, the revelation of Jesus, of who Jesus is, the start of his public ministry, the manifestation of the origin of Jesus' power. The baptism of our Lord Sunday makes perfect sense for the season of Epiphany, and it belongs there. But there was another detail this time about the baptism of Jesus that struck me and that makes this event in Jesus' life and ours as well an epiphany of grand proportions. I don't know if you caught it or not in the reading of the scripture. The opening of the heavens. The heavens are opened in two of the gospel accounts, and in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, it says the heavens were torn apart. What difference does that make? What does that little detail mean to us? Well, it doesn't take, a rocket scientist to know that it means that which separates us from God is removed, is no longer. God is no longer behind the firmament, in the clouds, at a distance, but here among us. We know this on one level, but do we believe it? Do we really get what that means? And do we live it? Sometimes we need a reminder that baptism is an epiphany-like moment. And I guess I don't have to tell you, or I shouldn't have to tell you, that epiphanies are not subtle. And, you know, I believe, and we all believe, that we can look for God in all kinds of people, and we can find God in all kinds of places. But there are times when God comes crashing through the clouds and stops you dead in your tracks. And baptism should do the same. And I don't want to be one of those churches that puts the baptismal font in a back corner somewhere. You know, in the Methodist Church, we only have two sacraments. We have the Lord's Supper and we have baptism. And our Lord's table is up there front and center. And I want us to be a church where baptismal font is up there front and center. In the Methodist tradition, we talk about the importance of the baptismal promise. And I know that we're supposed to understand that, but jargon has a way of obstructing what a true sense of this means. And there are other traditions that talk about the importance of remembering your baptism daily, kind of a daily dying and rising to Christ every single day. And that's why I told the children to think about their baptism and remember their baptism when they wash their hands, when they drink their water, when they're out in the rain. Every time we're involved with water, we should remember our baptism as a daily dying and rising to Christ. But it's not enough to say it. I know we all think it. But you have to know the difference that it makes, and then be able to give witness to it in language that you and others can understand. So this is where the heavens opening really matters for me. There is an intrusion here, an inability of God to be separate from whom God loves, whether we like it or not. We tend to define that as grace, the unmerited grace of God that is available to us at all times. But there's something about this image of God pulling apart the boundaries that we set up to protect ourselves from God that make epiphanies and baptism, for that matter, a little less than safe. Baptism, that boundary crossing, that opening up of the heavens, it can be and should be a little dangerous for us. But our baptismal ceremonies are rather tame. We have some drops of water and dressed-up recipients, parents and sponsors, and we have words from the congregation and then some applause. But Jesus' baptism reminds us that we should not get too comfortable with our baptism. I hope you looked at that picture on the cover. I tried to get the picture that had the greatest sense of what it's like to tear open the heavens for God to come down in bodily form as a dove. So we should not get too comfortable with baptism. But this is not to say that we question God's intention or God's action or God's desire to make us His, because that's not up for grabs. But it is to say that God choosing to be with us, God choosing to be one of us, and God choosing us to make us God's own should be its own epiphany. Because in that, we get to see the true character of God. A God who would risk security and safety, laud and honor, distance, so that God would know what it means to be among us and be us. We think of God as totally separate from us. But baptism is boundary crossing. Baptism is risk. Baptism is God's presence when we may not want God quite so close. If we're honest, the heavens opening up can be good news and not such good news for us, depending on how close you want God to be and what you want God to see of your life and who you want God to think you are. Because don't we all think at some time that we can hide from God? That God's not going to see us? That God's not going to know what we're doing? At certain times, we all think that. So yes, baptism is about a promise, the promise of the love and grace of God, God's protection and provision, the comfort of the community of faith, God's community. But Jesus' baptism in Scripture reminds us that and what God chooses to reveal about God's self is not always seen in the white gown and the water. The season of Epiphany this year is short. We're going to have Ash Wednesday coming up in a few weeks. And that brings us closer to the fact that God will also be seen in the rejection and suffering and death and pain and injustice of Jesus' life. So God renders the heavens open. God pushes through the firmament and says, "You, yes, you are my beloved. This we know and proclaim." This is the importance of witnessing Jesus' baptism as a remembrance and a promise of our own. But this cannot be just a moment of gratitude and comfort and security. It also needs to be a moment of great awe and majesty. Not just a moment of reliance on our baptismal promise, but a moment of rediscovery of who God really is. Not just a moment of security and steadfastness, but a moment of certainty that when we look at God, we should actually be looking for the heavens to be opened. And when that happens, everything changes. We need this kind of epiphany season. An epiphany that doesn't settle for God's appearances in the usual, but that trusts that God's inbreaking, trusts in God's inbreaking when we least expect it. To give good news to the poor, sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to realize that God's favor is for all, especially those whom our society rejects and overlooks and regards as undeserving of justice. It is only we who insist that others are not really worthy of God's love because God intruded upon the world to say that all are worthy of God's love. The heavens are being opened, and your discipleship call this week, should you choose to accept it, is to give witness to God's interruption, imposition, and interference. This, indeed, is the true meaning of baptism. Amen and amen.
If you'd stand and look to the screen behind me. We're going to sing Here I Am to Worship.
I should say, instead of just remember your baptism and be thankful, remember that baptism is boundary crossing. God reaching out and through the heavens to name and claim you. You are God's beloved. God has placed His name on you and your life. Do you claim Him today? Do you claim Him? And do you proclaim Him? May the love and grace of God, our Heavenly Father, and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and be with each of you, now and always. Go in peace. Amen.